This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Let's start the show with three poll questions. Poll question number one at Le Batard Show on Twitter. Did you know that Will Smith and Jada Pinkett had an open relationship before yesterday? Yes or no? Another poll question. Are you just learning this now, Stugatz? Is this
yes?
Okay. Stugatz is on remote. We will tell you why he sounds so funny in a second.
Funny.
Also on Twitter at Le Batard Show. Did you know that Will Smith's given name is Willard and not William? And third, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this right. Do you know who August Alsina is? Because August Alsina is the rapper who gave the interview in which he said he has had Will Smith's permission for a long time to love Jada Pinkett because Will Smith is no longer in a romantic relationship with his wife, according to him, but a life contract where they raise kids together, but that's not where they are. Because all of this was new information to me yesterday. So we will talk about that. And I can't tell from the frozen looks on everybody's face if I'm informing everybody or if somebody knows about this. But this is the situation that we have. We've got a little unrest. Stugatz is joining us from a hotel room where?
Bradenton, Florida, Dan. That's where I am. Bradenton, okay. Florida. By the way, my test came back negative, just so you know. I'll be back in studio with you tomorrow. How about that?
That's interesting that your test came back negative and you somehow got further away from the studio than you already were. So now he's at a lacrosse mitzvah somewhere in Bradenton. He heads straight into the COVID crisis. You head face first into the COVID crisis.
I am at the I am where the WNBA is. I'm at the IMG Academy. And what I am telling you, and this is frightening on a lot of levels. I'm not saying the WNBA players are doing this. I'm telling you everyone else in this area is doing this. No one's wearing a mask. Nobody. Everyone's walking around without masks. And it's infuriating. And I find myself telling everyone who I walk past who doesn't have a mask on, hey, would you mind putting on a mask? Let's go.
That must be great to watch. I wish that some people would recognize you as you did this. Let's put on a mask. Let's go. But Mike Ryan is also on remote, which puts Billy here. And Billy hasn't been in this studio in 4 months. Billy just arrived to a whole bunch of boxes from teams that have giveaways he was clamoring for. We were clamoring for. He was worried about the bobbleheads and all the promotions where teams weren't giving stuff away. And so we created it. We successfully created an email account. We successfully gave teams an address for Billy. How many boxes did you get from discarded giveaway people who listened to the show, Billy, and said, we have to get something down there to Billy Gill?
I've seen at least 6 packages so far.
All right, let's open one per segment, even though we're not on television. Go get one, and I just want to see who sent you something and what it looks like, and I want to describe it. For those of you who do not understand what we're doing, now he's just opening simply a FedEx, which I don't think is going to produce much of anything in the way of a giveaway. But Billy was very worried during the pandemic that there were warehouses filled with like Ian Desmond bobbleheads, and so he didn't know where any of those were going to go, and so we just requested that teams send us some. Billy, what is the email address in the event that teams still want to do that?
I believe it's unusedgiveaways@gmail.com, and I hope that I saved the password somewhere because it's been a little bit since I've checked on that, so you may not get a response right away. Ooh, wow, look at this. This is the Nashville SC, which I think this is their inaugural season, and I don't know if they've played. So here's a schedule magnet.
They sent you a schedule magnet for you.
Now you know if they can play.
Yeah, I would guess that these dates are subject to change at the moment. And then like a little necklace thing for keys. I don't know what this is.
That's just to hold like a credential around your neck. Yes, Chris.
Dan, how is Billy today just in general of his like demeanor? I'm imagining that he's washing his hands with sanitizer after every sentence.
What is the over-under on that? Because when I walked in today, all I heard him doing was talking to the computer and telling the computer Wow, you haven't been used in 4 months. You're working very slow. Like he was trying to. He
was what a shock! Billy was talking to the computer.
I was trying to get it on my good side, and it didn't work out because it's still moving. Like I had to print out papers for Dan, and I was just straight up printing like emails. So Dan, you'll see like my email address and like who sent it and all that because Microsoft Word doesn't want to work today. Nothing's working.
All right, so yeah, Billy is very nervous because and we have the added bonus of Mike also being nervous because he's just stuck like a mime in a Zoom box and he doesn't have any control over anything.
Well, and Stugatza just appeared in a hotel and didn't try to connect to Bristol until
3 minutes. It was 3 minutes beforehand and then a camera goes on. Look, I want you to imagine my experience, okay? Because Stugatza isn't there and I don't know he's in a hotel. So I thought I'd accidentally hit some love webcam thing I wasn't supposed to hit because there's just a hotel bed and I was expecting Stugatza to be like in the same place he's been for the last 3 months. And so I totally thought at any moment someone was going to crawl across the bed in a diaper. I was imagining somebody about 300 pounds in a diaper.
I mean, a hotel in Bradenton, my house in Parkland, the studios. Listen, here's what you guys could bank on most of the time. I'll be here right around 10 o'clock, okay? 9:58, 9:59. I am in a hotel room today. Mike, how does it feel to be in a Zoom box?
Feels like a Twilight Zone episode. Get me out of this damn thing. This is terrible for a control freak.
Yeah, he doesn't have any control over anything. Do you want to tell people what city you're in? Or are we just saying remote location, parts unknown?
Parts unknown, deep inside the bubble.
Okay, so he is...
We went over this before the show, Dan. He said he didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, but I just didn't know
what.
I didn't want to know. I asked. I wanted to know what it is that the audience could know about your whereabouts because you're also in a hotel room.
I am in a hotel room. Every time I leave the hotel room, I put on my mask. I got COVID tested, which was a really nerve-wracking experience. I got the all clear. I have a wristband to say that I'm all clear, which is actually kind of great. Inside this bubble, I know to stay away from people without wristbands. And if someone has a wristband, I'm like, ah, I can relax around you. So it's equal parts exciting, but I was very nervous taking this test because I don't understand asymptomatic carriers one bit.
The wristband is kind of like the blue check mark on Twitter.
Really only is. For my life.
I was remiss yesterday in not mentioning something that fills us around here with a great deal of happiness and pride. I cannot wait till the first time Mina Kimes drags Keyshawn Johnson on NFL Live on something. Like I can't wait to see her specifically have this power and this knowledge of football where she's gonna dust the best player on the set. In terms of her analysis, and it's going to be funny. It's going to be visually funny to watch because I don't believe that there are very many people at this network who could keep up with her. And so we are really, really proud of the fact that Mina Kimes has arrived in what I believe to be the strangest choice someone like her has ever made when given every damn option at the company. What she wants is NFL Live. She can have any damn job she wants at this company, Stugatz, and the one she wants is breaking down film. She wants to grind tape. And like, I can't tell you how excited and cool that is for anybody who cares about the Lebatard and Friends Network, anybody who cares about like giving power to people who don't normally have power in these settings. And as an added bonus, Pablo Torre sneaks in and gets a leftover podcast. He gets the carcass shell. He gets the turtle shell that's been discarded by the Mina Kimes star climb. And Pablo Torre just shifts in with his lazy journalism and takes over ESPN Daily, which she doesn't have time for anymore. ESPN Daily, which has only gotten more pub by 50 times than this, the biggest radio show in America. That turtle shell is now inherited by Pablo Torre, who did next to nothing to get it other than get his show canceled.
Looks like the Patriots. He just sat around and breathed. Guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. We're going to hear Elton John all day, aren't we? You're never getting off the E's. Here's your SportsCenter update. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says the NBA is pretty confident about its plan to safely resume play, but the coronavirus spread could bring the league to a halt again. This season of minor league baseball has been canceled, and finally, HBO has renewed Curb Your Enthusiasm for its 11th season. These days, it's good to be prepared. That includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. And also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Put it on the poll, please, Mike. Are you excited for an 11th season of Curb? Are you surprised that Jalen Rose changed his NBA title pick from the Lakers to the Clippers yesterday? That's a thing that happened yesterday. I don't know what changed, but other than his pick, but something changed. Maybe it's Avery Bradley. Is it something else, Chris? Do you know what it is that made him change his pick from Lakers to Clippers?
Well, no, I actually have a comment on the Larry David thing. Look, I love Larry David. Curb Your Enthusiasm is a fantastic show. But enough with the you don't really want to do the show anymore bit. Like, this is the 11th season. You clearly want to do this show. Stop acting like it's a burden and this is a big inconvenience.
Okay. At Le Batard Show, there are great expectations and those must be burdensome. Let's ask Pablo Torre the question I was asking as we went to break. Does it feel irresponsible and greedy for sports to return? Welcome, Pablo.
Hi. It does feel definitely greedy. I mean, we're just following the money, and money is good. We are a country built upon chasing money. And by the way, so are you, Dan, and I just love that Chris subtweeted you so hard in describing Larry David's quandary that he faces seemingly every year. I mean, that feels not so much about Larry David, but about working for you.
Wow, you're coming in very strong now that you've actually got a podcast on your resume. Your head has already gotten big because you've filled the turtle shell of Mina Kimes. When do you start that?
I start that on August 1st. Thank you for asking. And I heard what you said in the beginning of the show. So I am coming with the heat that you continually throw at me. So August 1st, but July scattered episodes. And by the way, to be clear, I am living like the dream of my parents, which is not to like go to Harvard and win journalism awards, then parlay that into like my own journalism focused podcast. I'm living the dream of my parents because I just got to benefit in the way that any mediocre white person would from the sloppy seconds of someone else. Like, this is the dream. And not only that, the sloppy seconds of another Asian person. 2020 has never felt more post-racial than it has for me last week.
Can you tell us what it is you were saying on Highly Questionable? Because I had not considered what it is you were saying about the social messages, if there is an NBA season, that will be on NBA uniforms, the problem or the quandary that presents for the NBA as a content moderator.
Yeah, I mean, being a content moderator is the job that nobody wants right now. If you look at YouTube, you look at Facebook, you look at Twitter, they're embroiled in massive existential threats because they don't know when to draw the line between decent and indecent. None of these Silicon Valley companies, by the way, which have billions of dollars, which are astride our whole entire universe, they're running everything. They have no idea how to draw the line. It's a really hard, like, constitutional free speech themed question. And so the NBA, when they say you could just put a slogan on your back, have they considered if that slogan is free Hong Kong? Have they considered if that slogan is defund the police? Have they considered if that slogan is simply the word reparations? I mean, where you draw the line for a business that is so sensitive specifically to the China question, it seems to me so unconsidered and poorly conceived that I can't think that this plan is going to happen just because of that particular free speech related issue.
I love that that's where you think the problems are in this plan. Like, there are so many problems. The NBA seems more prepared than anybody for this. NBA is giving us transparent details on all of this. And the whole thing feels like a lit fuse.
It feels a little bit Wile E. Coyote. Like, it feels like we're painting some tunnels onto the sides of mountains and hoping that we can run through them. It'll be totally fine and no one will emerge uninjured. But actually, my concern in all of this, and of course, we are owned and operated by the Walt Disney Company. We are all cast members. When we walk into Disney World, they say, hello, cast member. My concern is mostly for our fellow cast members. Like, I have a feeling the NBA and the NBA players are going to have the resources and the berth to be treated with the utmost care. I'm mostly concerned about the people who are cleaning the rooms, the people in those unions. And my understanding is that all of that stuff is shaping up well. But those are the people, the essential workers that maybe don't have to do these inessential jobs, those are the people that we probably should be the most worried about.
What do you think happens, getting back to the initial conversation we were having about free Hong Kong? Like, how do you think that actually plays out if a player were to try to do that? Like, first of all, you know one of the Rockets isn't going to try to do that. Like, where... If somebody were to actually try that, there's no way the NBA is going to let that player on the court with that jersey.
No, no way at all. And this is where Adam Silver, who gets a lot of credit for being the most leftist, liberal, woke, progressive commissioner in the history of sports, is going to reveal himself in subtle ways to be actually the guy who was the lieutenant to David Stern for all of those years and years where David Stern was the Iron Fist. Adam Silver wears a velvet glove, but inside of that glove is an iron fist. And by the way, that makes him really good at the job that he has. He is incredible at it. He is a politician and a strategist, but no one is going to let an NBA player walk out onto the court and reopen the thing that cost the NBA nine figures easily in terms of financial damage. And this is going to end up with, if it happens, and again, I think it's dubious based on all the reasons I've said. What's going to happen is that there will be a behind-the-scenes, door behind a door behind a door negotiation process with the teams themselves that will prevent these players from being as loud about these causes that they want to. Although it's worth noting also, the last time we went through the China and Hong Kong and the Uyghur political controversy in the NBA, no NBA player wanted to come within about 40,000 feet of that. So I think that might be the saving grace as well.
How about the idea that NFL teams are talking about flying in the day of a game so that they don't have to even bother with a hotel? I love the idea that the hotel is more dangerous than the playing field.
Yeah, the idea that you would do all of this without a bubble, without that campus closed ecosystem, that just seems plainly insane to me. And the notion that you'll just fly in and you'll be tested. I mean, one of the benefits of being in a bubble is that you are tested every day, you are tested regularly, and if you are just going to fly in, I don't know how you can possibly ensure that you would get the recommendation that the NBA is getting from Anthony Fauci, for instance. Dr. Fauci is at the very least praising the NBA as saying, this Disney bubble is the best, most creative solution I have seen. He has not said anything close to that for the NFL or for Major League Baseball, because flying in on the day of a game is sort of not at all the issue that they're solving.
Pablo, good talking to you. Happy to hear that that podcast, no matter how much we mock you, that you're going to be handling that podcast. It is in good hands. ESPN Daily, August 1st, Pablo Torre takes over. Mina Kimes bumped up, graduates to the job that only she has as a dream job. Thank you for being on with us, Pablo. We appreciate it.
I've never been a more proud or more Asian hermit crab that found a shell.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
So Michael Klosterman writes in, Sirius Radio is free this July 4th weekend. So I just jumped into my truck and I listened to ESPN Radio for the very first time. It was perfect timing to hear about Bobby Bonilla and farts. Sign me up. So you are so wrong, Billy.
No. Guest of the Dan Le Batard Show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Yankees GM Brian Cashman and Cubs GM Jed Hoyer have both said that under the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, teams are not allowed to divulge the name of any player who tests positive for the coronavirus and will not specifically announce when those players are designated for the injured list. NHL players who were due signing bonuses today are expected to be paid as scheduled. More than $300 million is expected to be distributed, with the Maple Leafs leading the league with $60 million. And finally, Bryson DeChambeau outlined his unusual diet. For breakfast, he eats 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, toast, 2 protein shakes. For lunch, he eats a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and sometimes an energy bar, 2 shakes mid-round or every 6 holes, snacking when practicing after. And for dinner, he eats a steak, potatoes, and 2 shakes. How about this guy? Feeling great starts with a great shave. A great shave start with Barbasol Shaving Cream. That's Barbasol Shaving Cream, an American classic for over 100 years. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Mike, put it on the poll, please. Have we reached a truly awful place in race relations when protesters are running off the naked cowboy in Times Square? That's a thing that happened here yesterday. Also something that happened that shouldn't have happened. The podcast world welcomed one Jeff Fisher. Yes, that's right. Jeff Fisher famously swooped into Miami as a coaching candidate on a helicopter. He was a coveted mustache during that brief fly across the sky. And all he did was go 7-9 and 8-8 the entire time. And when Nick Foles left him, he had more success. And when every quarterback left him, Jared Goff, every quarterback left him, they had more success.
What kind of podcast are we talking here? Because I have some pitches for him if he's listening. Jeff, if you're listening, 8-8, a food podcast. That's my only pitch.
That's it?
Yeah.
That is all you got. Okay.
Listen, it was a big segment for me. We made it from the E's to the J's in terms of music. Now we're in the Jimmy Buffett section of the music being played. For those of you just joining us, the first hour, I only played Elton John music because we were stuck in the E's. See, Dan, I can learn. Reset.
Thank you, Billy, for resetting that. Can you go get another one of your giveaways, please, as Mike Ryan filibusters here with not Bobby Bonilla news. Today is the day Bobby Bonilla gets $1 million through 2035 from the Mets, even though he stopped playing 19 years ago. Mike says this follows immediately the Darren Williams news that I have not heard of.
Dan, yesterday was Darren Williams Day because he received his final daily payment of $15,000. When he was bought out by the Nets, the agreement was he'd be paid out the remaining total of his contract in $15,000 per day increments.
Wow.
Yesterday was the final day.
That's amazing.
That Darren Williams received. And now I'm granted, this is probably done on a bi-weekly basis, but I like the idea of daily,
every day.
Paper check.
Yes.
Of $15,000 making its way to Darren Williams's hands.
Do you like the idea of getting every year just $1 million wired into the account, or would you rather get $15,000 every single
day? No, $15,000 a day sounds a lot more fun. Put it on the poll as well.
Great.
Put it on the poll, Mike. What would you rather receive? $1 million. Is that the actual number? Is $15,000 a day $1 million a year? No. Yes? No.
I think they needed to make up the total. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I think I read that they had to pay him like $5 million since the end of his buyout. And I think he was getting like a $15,000 a day payout.
Billy, what did you open there? If you're not familiar with what Billy's doing, he is opening giveaways that have not happened because sports have not happened. He asked for some teams and some lonely employees who were bored to send him stuff to an email account that may or may not be correct when he says it right now.
It's unusedgiveaways@gmail.com, I think. Now, I was thinking about like the schedule magnets, which is what we started with, but I got the piggy bank Zamboni, which I pronounced Worcester Railers, but that might not be right. I don't know how to say that word. This one says it's from Mike Tannenbaum. Do you think that's the Mike Tannenbaum? Probably not, right?
Mike Tannenbaum, the guy who used to run the Dolphins and work in real estate and now is an expert at ESPN.
Ooh, wow. This is a Mike Tannenbaum from the San Diego Gulls, which seem to be a minor league hockey team, and they sent us Wow, a Gulliver Nutcracker. I guess that's their mascot. So this is great for the holiday season.
Did you get anything from a major league team, from a professional franchise that wasn't minor league?
None that I've seen yet, but it's early still. I think we have three or four more boxes here, and I'm assuming that, you know, everybody listening now, it's just going to come in waves. So I guess I reached out to a team, by the way, about this, and they're like, yeah, we just canceled the order. So we didn't order. The season was canceled enough time. We just didn't place the order. So apparently there aren't all these unused giveaways.
I'd like to remind you guys that I just asked the question, would you rather get $15,000 a day? That equates out to $5.475 million over a year.
Right.
Or would you rather just get $1 million
That's right.
a year?
That's right. That is exactly what you did. So I guess the question should probably be, sure, would you rather get $5.4 yes. million in one lump sum or get it $15,000 a day? Stugatz, I wanted to read you a little here from a bit of a heartbreaking article by Bob Nightingale, the longtime baseball writer for USA Today, because this is something that's jarring if you think about mental health and mental health of your athletes very often. This is just reading here. It was a disturbing picture, a police mugshot splattered across the internet last weekend, revealing a troubled man with a vacant, soulless look. He looked disheveled, with hair that looked like it hadn't been combed in weeks, if not months. His thick beard was scraggly, covering most of his face, flowing right into his hair. The article accompanying the picture was a homeless man found asleep behind the Federal Express building located at the Key West International Airport in Florida. He had only a black book bag in his possession. The police report listed his address simply as the streets of Key West. The name of the arrested man, Andrew Tolles. Yes, the same man who just 2 years ago was the popular starting outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Quote, when the news came out, the response from the public was very different from the response from my family. Morgan Tolles, Andrew's sister, told USA Today Sports, when people saw my brother's mugshot, it was like, oh my God, he's been arrested. You know what my family felt? Relief. It's really crazy to say, but the mugshot really was the best thing ever. We didn't know whether he was dead or alive. That is a crazy spiral. Like, I don't mean to use that with a pun literally. That is a spiral that is Delonte Westish, and it's fast to go from starting outfielder for, you know, if not the wealthiest team in baseball, one of the wealthiest teams in baseball, to 2 years later sleeping behind a FedEx building in Key West. Like, that is, I wonder how much of things like that, Stugatz, are undetected, just because even though in an age of transparency and vulnerability where athletes are more comfortable revealing their weaknesses to you than they've ever been, even still, that is a descent that is jarring. And I wonder how many people are in hiding without knowing what it is that they're feeling. Like, can you imagine how hard it was for him to keep whatever it is he needed to keep together to apply himself to the daily regimen of being good at hitting a baseball, Stugatz?
Draining in a way that I don't think anyone could relate to, possibly relate to, not even if you know someone who's gone through it. I think it's one of those things you just have to go through yourselves, but absolutely draining and exhausting, and I feel terrible. And I wonder how many more examples. Like, we wouldn't know that story unless he was willing to tell that story, right? Like, so I went, like, Delonte West stories as well. I wonder how many more stories are like that out there in the world of sports.
The Delonte West story is something that social media investigators have figured right out. This one, he had to be arrested in order to figure it out. I will tell you that Mike's frustration inside of the Zoom box with no control as a control freak is evident when in the chat, all of a sudden, you get these details. The naked cowboy is aggressively MAGA on his underwear. There's 2020 Trump messaging. He sings songs about Trump, so he was kind of putting himself out there. Mike, can I tell you how little I care about who was right or wrong in a dispute that involves the naked cowboy? Like, I don't...
Just trying to provide helpful context, considering the construct of your poll question.
The starting point is a naked cowboy walking into race relations. I'm going to guess at any time dating back to the Wild West that that's a bad situation for everyone involved. The naked cowboy deciding that he's going to make an appearance anywhere. Wild West, Times Square, anywhere in the middle of race relations is probably going to end badly.
Michael Holly going to join us half hour, 30 minutes, noon Eastern on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Yankees GM Brian Cashman and Cubs GM Jed Hoyer have both said that under the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, teams are not allowed to divulge the name of any player who tests positive for the coronavirus and will not specifically announce when those players are designated for the injured list. The NHL players who are due signing bonuses today are expected to be paid as scheduled. More than $300 million is expected to be distributed, with the Maple Leafs leading the league with $60 million. And finally, police in Italy have confiscated a huge shipment of 15.5 tons of amphetamines, which they said was produced by ISIS in Syria. They found 84 million pills with a market value of $1.12 billion, investigators said the bus is the largest drug haul in the world in terms of both value and quantity. Soccer is back on ESPN+, Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
We are a fractured, splintered version of ourselves as many of us here crawl toward vacation. So you have a lot of changed roles today. Billy is where Mike usually is. Billy, will you please get another giveaway there? I'd like to open it live on air, as you've gotten giveaways evidently from only minor league teams. Mike is in parts unknown doing the show from a hotel. Stugatz is in Bradenton doing the show from a hotel. And Chris Cody, because there's just general unrest, is firing content questions in every direction. He is asking what his wife is trying to tell him during her sleep. He is asking what age a child is for optimal cuteness. He's also asking if you could transform into any animal for an entire weekend, which one would you choose? I want to get to all those things, but before I do so, I have to play some sound for the audience and for you guys. Because not surprisingly, Stugatz, Boston is already saying the Boston things about Cam Newton. Okay, so when this gets started, him specifically replacing Tom Brady specifically in that region, it's one of the reasons I want to talk to Michael Holly at noon today, who's written a book on Bill Belichick and knows that team inside and out. I want to play for you some sound from 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is not surprising at all. It is just so very Boston. The Felger and Maz show, this is them basically saying that they don't want Cam Newton to even do the Superman in New England. Never mind the other arrogance. Never mind the scarves and the strutting and everything else. They don't even want the most benign of his gestures. I suppose they could have gone after he shouldn't give footballs to sick kids anymore, but they didn't go quite that far. But they've got all sorts of problem with it, with his celebrating. Do you want to hear this, or do you think it's totally predictable and you don't need to hear it?
Oh, no, I'd like it's totally predictable, and yet I'd still like to hear it.
All right, so go ahead and play that from 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How about culture? Like, even something as simple and seemingly innocuous as the dapping, the Superman, and all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you... Put it this way. I shouldn't say allow it, because I don't think Bill will, quote-unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski, Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Oh, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
All right, put this on the poll, please, Mike. Is the guy who says in an argument, no dice and feh, ever black? At Lebatard Show on Twitter. Feh is what he said, and no dice. We have more sound from you, predictable sound. It should have a Boston accent on it. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Oh, Billy's still looking for it right there. Did you have something, Stugatz, that you wanted to say, or was that Chris? Billy's still looking for the sound here.
No, it was Chris. I can't hear the sound because I'm working out of a hotel in Bradenton, Florida. So, but I can predict kind of what it is that they
said. All right, Billy was too busy opening one of his gifts here. We will get to that in a second, but let's hear the second. He was too busy opening. Was this one at least from a major league?
Not a Lebatard.
There it is.
I don't know what happened, Billy. You bent over to grab a minor league box, and I think your shoulder hit one of the buttons, and then you looked in every direction, scared. Like, who did that?
Boston sound?
Yes, please.
Do you think this guy can contain himself? Do you really think that?
I'd like to think so.
In terms of what he wears, and again, is he dabbing in the end zone, or are you giving the Superman thing? I don't know, but...
No Superman. I don't want to see Superman. But Bill doesn't want to see Superman. He didn't want you taunting the opponent like that.
Okay, but let's say that Newton does it. Whose fault is it then?
Newton.
Bill's.
Newton.
Bill.
Don't Superman. We don't do that here.
Bill, like all of a sudden the guy's going to change at this stage of his career. He's been in the league 10 years.
That's what
he
they
does
ask.
He does a Superman thing every time.
That's what they ask of you.
So I just think the Patriots are being naive on that one. This guy is who he is. He is who he is. They should have learned that lesson with Ocho Cinco, by the way.
It won't be a lot. That had nothing to do with Ocho Cinco sucking here. He couldn't figure out the offense.
I'm just telling you, he was also extremely unhappy here. And I think the two can sort of, one can lead to the other.
Here's a prediction for you on Newton. No Supermaning, and you won't see it. You won't see it.
I bet you do.
Okay. I hope not.
He'll Superman it.
I hope not.
He'll burst open that shirt and try to show you the S. He'll try to show you.
So great. It is so stiff and starched, and I cannot believe that Mike Ryan has decided that the hill he wants to die on is on the other side of feh. He wants to defend feh, saying feh in someone's face to dismiss an argument.
Well, I was actually just trying to confirm spelling for the poll question. There's two different points there, but now I'm learning what life is on this side of the Zoom. Also, I was able to unmute my TV and just finish the sound that you played because of the delay on ESPN News. I told Sugats privately in the Zoom chat, look, you're not going to be able to hear it. Here's what it basically is. Just fake it. And he gave the game away within 1 second.
He gave the game away, but Billy was looking all over the place, just scared, wondering where it is that random sound came from. And it came from his shoulder hitting the computer.
I still haven't figured out where. I'm looking to see if anything's... I don't know where that came from.
What is the box? What is the box that you have back there? Who has sent you something in this, this haunted cemetery of forgotten giveaways?
It looks like we got a Chihuahua pillow from, I assume, the El Paso Chihuahuas, Dan. Chihuahua pillow. My dog will like this.
The minor league teams, did you get a single thing? Is this amateur outfit that we run around here, did it get a single thing from an institution that was not a minor league baseball team or some unknown hockey team?
Not yet, and I think we only have like one or two things left, so it's not looking promising.
All right, Stugatz, I have some more sound to play for you, but we'll do it in the next segment because Mad Dog Russo did some pretty predictable stuff as well. The things that this person cares about in what I imagine are his 60s are really, really silly things, so we will get to that sound in a second.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
I feel like Stugatz, even in 2020, I am still that guy with the salmon-colored shirt tucked into his white pants, barefooted. I'm just outside of the cathedral with an automatic weapon, and I'm just wanting to fight everyone who takes sports seriously. Like, I feel like I am that guy. I am that guy because Mad Dog Russo annoyed me with how seriously he's still taking the argument of that's a bad sports town. You're 60 years old, dude. Like, you're still out here condemning a town because it doesn't care about sports the way you do?
I mean, listen, you think he's going to change now? You want him to stop caring? He whooped at the Mad Dog anymore.
So I Googled Fe, and it apparently has Yiddish origin. So not looking good for is that person ever a black person? Pull his lie.
I can see Mike absolutely using Fe, though. I mean,
And now for your Sports Center update. The Lakers do not know if Dwight Howard will rejoin the team when the NBA restarts. Barca star Lionel Messi scored his 700th career goal in the team's 2-2 draw against Atletico Madrid. And finally, a 72-year-old California woman was gored by a bison in Yellowstone National Park. The woman approached the bison to take a picture and got within 10 feet of it multiple times before it gored her. She sustained multiple goring wounds. I guess those are the type of wounds that you get when you get gored, and was treated by Rangers before being flown to Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center for further treatment. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So he wrote a New York Times bestseller, Bill Belichick, the coaches and the players who built a champion. He did radio in Boston for more than a decade with his best friend. We've talked to him a number of times. So Michael Holly is with us now on ESPN Radio. And by way of greeting, Michael, we haven't talked to you in a long time. I just want to play for you some sound from 98.5, the Sports Hub, about Cam Newton from Felger and Mass. This is not surprising in any way. Boston seems to do a lot of this. And what we've been asking the last couple of days is not only how's it going to go over to have a black man at quarterback for the Patriots, but how's it going to go over to have that black man at quarterback for the Patriots. And this is what you hear on Boston Sports Radio, I imagine, since you've been on Boston Sports Radio.
How about culture? Like, even something as simple and seemingly innocuous as the dapping, the Superman, and all the celebrating and showboating on the field. They don't want you doing that here. So Cam Newton has celebrated more than any player in the league maybe over the last decade. Think he'll be able to contain it?
I think Bill's going to give him a little latitude on that one. That's what I think.
I hope he doesn't. I like that about the Patriots. I like that they don't ride each other like ponies after touchdowns or whatever. I like that they don't waste our time.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's a different kind of cat, though.
No dice. No dice on the Superman.
I bet you they allow it, or I bet you. Put it this way. I shouldn't say allow it, because I'm not. I don't think Bill will, quote-unquote, sign off on it.
So wait a minute.
He'll do it, though.
They won't let Dorsett ride Gronkowski like a pony. Rob Gronkowski, Hall of Famer, hugely important to multiple championships. He can't screw around, but Cam Newton can?
He's the quarterback.
Oh, feh.
He's the quarterback.
Ah, please.
Gronk's a tight end.
Don't tell me that.
Shut up and block.
I don't want that.
Shut up and block.
Shut up and take the next snap.
So NBC Sports Boston host, Boston University professor, one of the first black people to write about sports in Boston as a columnist, Michael Holly, hears that and hears what?
Oh, Dan. First of all, good to be on with you. Always great talking with you, my friend. Yeah, that's disappointing. That's disappointing to hear that. And also, Dan, I have to say, it's not true that Bill Belichick won't allow players to express themselves. An individualistic, creative black player can't express himself in Foxborough. I mean, Randy Moss is still on ESPN. Ask Randy Moss about what it was like playing for Bill Belichick. Ask a number of players who have opinions and who play joyfully and enjoy the game, but also do the job well or do the job at a high level in Foxborough. If Bill Belichick has any problem saying, "Hey, don't do that. Don't do your Superman dance. Don't smile so much. Don't symbol or gesture on first down. That's just not, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
So when,
that's crazy.
So when you spend all this time doing a drive time show in Boston, as you did, what was that experience like for you coming from a region where a lot of the black athletes tell you they find Boston not to be very progressive?
What was that like? I did it for 13 years. And for the most part, Dan, it was great. And there are times when these topics came up that there was a lot of resistance. There was a lot of resistance. And I would find that I'd be into these political discussions or these cultural discussions doing the show. Now, of course, yeah, I'll give you one example. And I know you remember this when Gordon Hayward was with the Utah Jazz and Jay Crowder was with the Celtics, and Celtics fans, you know, cheered Gordon Hayward because they wanted him to be a free agent. They wanted him to come to Boston as a free agent. Now, see, I'm there. I think I'm reasonable, Dan. I'm reasonable. So I said, oh, I get it. Some Boston fans look at this upgrade of Gordon Hayward. He's going to be a free agent. They're trying to be nice to him. So when he makes his decision, he'll consider Boston. Well, I said on the air, I was like, hey, I don't think Celtics are on the air. I don't think Celtics fans really care that he's a great white player. Oh, man, did the phones light up then? Did the phones light up? People saying, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I do. I sure would like to see some all-star white players on the Celtics. I said, you know what? It's time to go to a break. I got to go to a break. I couldn't handle it. I was shocked by it. Now, I tell you that, and that's disappointing, right? But I think, and I wrote about this last week, Dan, I think where this conversation goes left too often is that we stay in the corners too much. So on one hand, you'll hear people say Boston is the most racist city in the United States. And on the other hand, you'll hear some people in Boston who will say, oh, they're just picking on us. They're trying to use isolated incidents to make the city look bad. And I just feel like the conversation doesn't evolve if we're sticking to one of those tent poles, because the conversation should be out of the corner.
What's the
truth? Talk about
I'm sorry, you crapped out there a little bit. What is it from your perspective? What is the truth from your perspective?
The truth from my perspective is, we can't talk about Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd and Breonna Taylor in this country. We can't talk about those murders and look at worldwide protests, Nairobi, Paris, Tel Aviv. We can't look at that. A global sickness, a global evil, which racism is. We can't say it's global and then foolishly localize it. Now, it is not a Boston problem, but Boston does have its own issues within this racist world structure, just as Miami does, and just as Chicago and Cleveland and Los Angeles do. And so I think it's a problem in Boston if you ignore it and you say, well, it's not happening here. And I think it's a problem nationally if you're in Miami and you say that's Boston's problem. You see what I mean? I think both views are faulty and problematic. This is a worldwide issue. And if we're going to take a worldwide issue and say, well, this is Boston's issue, I think we've all missed the point.
It is a worldwide problem, but you've lived there long enough to know that you don't get athlete quotes on a city the way that you do on that one.
Absolutely, and I wrote about that too. I said, what is it about Boston that somebody could, you know, Torrey Hunter can go into Fenway Park, and I believe him. I wrote that. Everybody who has talked about Boston, I believe him. Michael Wilbon has said he's had issues in Boston. He said the first time he was called an N-word to his face was in Boston, Massachusetts. For me, it was in Akron, Ohio, but that's beside the point. Michael Wilbon, L. Duncan from ESPN, Torrey Hunter, Adam Jones. So I believe all of their stories. And I raised the question, what is it about Boston
that allows people to go into Fenway Park and to say these vile things without fear? Is it that on our plot of land that we don't have the layers that everybody else has? That we don't have enough witnesses who say, oh, wait a minute, you can't do that here. We're not going to allow that. And so there's almost like there's no layer of protection or not enough layers of protection between Boston and racism laid bare. But is there racism in Chicago where I live briefly? Yes. Have I experienced racism in your state? Yes, I have. So I just think we just got to have a more of a three-dimensional look at it without ignoring the issues that do exist in Boston, but also connecting those issues to issues that are happening around the country and around the world.
Lighter subject matter, to be sure, but New York Times bestseller Michael Holley with us. He wrote Patriot Reign, Bill Belichick, the coaches and the players who built a champion. I've been asking for a couple of days now, is this cheating going to actually stick to the Patriots in any meaningful way, given that we all say Belichick is the best coach ever and we all say Brady's the best quarterback ever?
Yes. Yes, it's going to stick. I mean, it's a part of, you know this, being the great journalist that you are, you know, it's part of the biography. So if you're writing the feature story or if you're writing the book, you're disingenuous if you leave that out.
Yeah, but Michael, for all the other cheaters, it's in the first paragraph.
Yeah, well, tell me who the other...
Lance Armstrong, Alex Rodriguez, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Floyd Landis, the Houston Astros. Like, it's almost everyone but them.
Yeah, but it's a part of it. Yeah, it's everyone but I'm not sure, Dan. You tell me from your... You got a national audience here. When people bring up the New England Patriots, are they speaking of them admiringly always?
No, it's hateful, but it's not excellence with an asterisk. It's not. It's just excellence. They're smarter than everyone else. They're better than everyone else. And, yeah, they do some dirty stuff that we can't quite measure.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to hear that because I think the perception in New England, and that's six states, you know, it's almost like six states versus 44. You know, everybody's against us. Everybody hates us. Everybody thinks we're cheaters. So it's not really the perception in New England.
Michael, thank you for being on with us. Always appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Oh, always. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes, on the Dan Le Batard Show, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, and hopefully that's where Natasha Cloud is right now. And now for your Sports Center update. The Lakers do not know if Dwight Howard will join the team when the NBA restarts. Barca forward Lionel Messi scored his 700th career goal in the team's 2-2 draw against Atletico Madrid. And finally, a few minutes of looking into a deep red light could have a dramatic effect on preventing eyesight decline as we age. This according to a new study published this week in the Journals of Gerontology. If you're like me, you love a good stat. But there's one you probably don't know, and that's your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See SOAR for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Mike, put it on the poll, please. Do you know the origins of the phrase can't hold a candle to? It has its roots in the 1600s when the lowly apprentice to a master of a craft might only be fit to hold a candle in order to provide light for the master while he tends to a problem. An apprentice who was not even skillful enough to hold a candle for his master was worthless indeed. An excellent use of the word indeed. Natasha Cloud is with us, and she is part of this growing movement of WNBA players who are leaving behind their careers for the moment or putting it on pause in order to tend to social justice matters. Thank you, Natasha, for being on with us. Can you explain to us how hard a decision this was, how much you wrestled with it? When we talked to Maya Moore, she said it was very easy for her. She had a lot of clarity about it.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. For me, it was a little bit conflicting. I play in a league of 144 women. It's extremely hard to get into our league, and it's extremely hard to keep your job in our league. I've always been kind of the underdog mid-major kid, and luckily I was able to win a championship this past year in 2019. Shout out to DC, but this was extremely tough for me because of my love and passion for the game and being the point guard and one of the leaders for our team, but also understanding when I take that jersey off every day that I walk out those gym doors and I am a black female in America, and for that, my life could potentially always be taken. So it was a little conflicting, but at the end of the day, I want to fight on the front lines and be in the community and do my due diligence to help fight social reform, and I didn't feel I could do that from a bubble. So at the end of the day, I made the decision, and I couldn't be happier with it.
Maya Moore said to us that it's more draining than basketball. I don't know if you've spoken to her at all, and I know that it's very difficult to get to where you guys are, and I was surprised to hear her say that she's more exhausted every day doing this than she is playing basketball or being great at basketball.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't agree with her more. You know, when I sat out and I started diving into social reform and figuring out where I wanted to go, what avenues I wanted to go in, and who I wanted to align with, I've never been this exhausted in my life. You know, I could go and do, you know, a full day of basketball and still not be this tired. So it is. This is a mental thing. This is an emotional thing. And it can be draining at times because you just want to do things the right way and figure out what is the best avenues to go in to help your community. So I completely agree with that.
When was the first time that you considered leaving behind your career to do this, and how much time went by between the consideration and the decision to do it?
Right after George Floyd was murdered. You know, Breonna Taylor was murdered in her home, and George Floyd comes, and countless others have happened since then. And then I'm a player rep for our team, so I'm on union calls, I'm on decisions based for our league. And I couldn't put myself in that mindset to think about basketball when something much greater than the game of basketball was happening to not only our community, but something that directly affects me as well. So probably about two and a half weeks went by when I was wrestling with it. I was just weighing my options and making sure that I was making the best decision for myself and for my family, with understanding that it's either you play or you sit out and you get $0. And that's a huge financial burden for me and my family as a provider. And so I just had to make sure that all my T's were crossed and my I's were dotted. But that decision came easy. And I had to let some things die down. Obviously, I had, you know, George Floyd was murdered. I don't want to take away from that. I even pushed my Converse release back. Then we had a march in D.C. with our NBA counterparts, our brothers in the Wizards. And I didn't want to take away from that, so I made sure that everything was kind of cleared before I made my decision public.
Can you sort of explain to us the nature of the sacrifice? Like, what are you giving up? Can you explain to the audience why this cause, it ends up hurting because you have to give up so much to dedicate yourself to it?
Yeah, you know, going into this, I've already stated that we have 144. I went to a small Jesuit university in St. Joe's University in Philadelphia, where I grew up. It was really hard for me to even get into the league. It was really hard for me to stay in the league, too. You have so many talented young players out here. So it really is. It's a competition every single day when you're in the WNBA. Then on the side of the financials, we already don't make that much. Everyone knows that. That's not, you know, a hidden secret. We have a new CBA, obviously, but with being on the old contract, I'm losing. I'm taking $0 in. And so, you know, with playing in the WNBA and not being compensated for the 6 years that I've been in there, that's a huge financial burden, especially when you're talking about, you know, being sole caretaker of your family. But again, at the end of the day, money's only means so much. you know, my career. This is something that directly affects me. It affects my fiance. It affects our future children. And this is something that I've never seen this much momentum and this much leverage. And for me, going into a bubble isn't capitalizing on this movement. And so I want to be at the front lines. I want to be in my community. I want to be able to have an impact. And so I chose the best way to do so.
Do you find at all that you feel helpless and hopeless standing in front of the size of the mountain?
Oh, my gosh, yes. It can be extremely intimidating when you're looking at the big picture of how do we fix systematical racism, oppression, police brutality, wage gaps, the incarceration rate. It's been really, really daunting, and so you can feel hopeless at times, but going through this, being at different marches, meeting with different people, you find hope in people. You find hope that there's still a lot of good people in this world that may not have been, you know, at this moment where they've been like, hey, we see you, we understand you, we hurt for you. It took George Floyd being murdered to wake America up. And not only, you know, Black America, this is what we face every single day when we step outside of our doors. This is the potential that we could face. It doesn't matter that I'm a WNBA player. It doesn't matter that Bradley Beal's an NBA player. At the end of the day, we're Black. For our white counterparts, it wakes them up to see, well, shoot, this is not our reality. This is something new to us. We're seeing it firsthand for 8 minutes and 46 seconds in broad daylight by a man that was supposed to serve and protect. We're seeing a man murdered. A Black man murdered, and so it woke everyone up. But again, I just find hope in people, hope in the people that I'm aligning with, and the companies that I'm working with, that they care and that they understand that this is bigger than basketball.
Natasha Cloud with us on ESPN Radio, has left the Washington Mystics in order to pursue social reform. Is there any one place where you're pouring forth the majority of your effort? Is there, or you can't be trying to tackle all of it at once, can you?
No. And that's the thing that hurts me. You know, obviously I want to be able to fix everything, but that's just not realistic. So figuring out what is the low hanging fruit that I can attack right now and have an impact on. And so the first thing, my first goal was voting. We have a big election coming up, obviously. And we need to educate our voters. We need to give them their power back, their voice back. And that starts with not only educating them, giving them the resources that they need, making sure that they're registered. It would surprise you how many people are not registered to vote. So making sure that we're doing our due diligence to educate, to register, and to try and keep the suppression of voter for people to vote. We've seen it. We've seen people locked out of windows. This isn't the first time that voter suppression has happened. It's not going to be the last time, and we're going to try to contain it as much as we can. But voting is huge in getting our voices and our power back. And not only at the federal level, people don't understand how important it is to vote at your state and local level. So I just want to be able to educate people as well as educate myself through the process, too, because every state is different.
Natasha, thank you for your work and for being on with us.
Thank you so much for having me.